I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A few weeks ago, just after I had Barry Peterson on about his and Blaise Enright's very fine book, 111 West Coast Literary Portraits, I got an email from their publisher, Mona Fertig. I've sort of admired Miss Fertig from afar. I guess you'd have to if I live in Vancouver and she lives with her husband, Peter, on Salt Spring Island. It is there that they run Mother Tongue Publishing. It's a feisty, formidable publishing house that puts out really great-looking regional books of fiction, biography, poetry, and the acclaimed series, The Unheralded Artists of British Columbia. I'll get Mona, who joins me live and in person this day, to tell us about this series, the artists featured, and how it all came about. Mother Tongue Publishing is celebrating its fifth anniversary, and when Mona emailed me, I said, if she's ever in town and amenable, to drop by, as I'd like to have her on the show to talk about this press these past 5 years, and book publishing in general. In recent weeks, we've heard news of an institution in this country filing for bankruptcy protection, so it's not been a good time for publishing houses. We'll reflect on that and so much more. I also ought to note that Mona published Gurjinder Basran's Everything Was Goodbye, the 2011 winner of the Ethel Wilson Fiction Prize. That was a big success. MotherTonguePublishing.com is the website for more. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Mona Fertig. Ms. Fertig, good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in to do this. I appreciate it.
Yes.
So what are you doing on this side of the water this week? You had an event, did you?
Yes, we had two events. We had a launch for the portrait book at the McGill Library, and there's been a two-month exhibit there. 20 of the portraits are up now.
These 111 portraits, right? 20
yes,
of them?
Yes, 20 of them. The Vancouver writers are up. And last night, Maxine Gadd and I read at the Emily Carr University.
Yeah. How is this book done, the 111 West Coast Portraits by Barry and Blaise?
It's just come out, so it came out a few weeks ago. So it has been moving, and we'll be doing more publicity, and so we're looking forward to more events we have lined up.
Yeah, that's the thing about this book, and I told Barry that when he was on. It's, I mean, the photos that he and Blaise took are pretty good-looking photos, but the way that the book's put together is really, I mean, it's a handsome book, and I guess that's your doing, right?
Well, it's very important for me, the look of the book, and the designer did a beautiful job. I'm really, really, really pleased with it, and we want a book that people will keep, not just sort of get rid of, you know, eventually.
Yeah, I've had it for, I guess, a month or so now, and we did the interview, and I've referred to it from time to time, looking at and reading some of the poetry or whatever is in there.
Yes.
Yeah. So Mother Tongue, that's, well, you and Peter have had that for 20 years or so, right?
That's right,
but
yeah.
I guess as a trade publisher, it's 5 years, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. What was the goal in starting the press? I mean, I know you guys publish chapbooks and the sort, but to get sort of into the, I don't know what you call that, mainstream, or what is that?
Trade, well, the trade book world.
Yeah.
Yeah, the goal was to make it more of a viable business where I would make maybe a living, a small living, and because the other business was limited editions, and so it was more of really a side thing. So the trade publishing is full-time. So that was one of my main goals, was to leap into that, but also to bring a more of a feminist press into the scene. There aren't a lot of women publishers out there, and not a lot in BC, and I had really clear vision of where I wanted to go, especially with the unheralded artists, and no one else was interested in it.
Yeah, so I guess one of the first projects you had was a book on your dad and his art, right?
It was the first project, although it came out as a number three book.
Yeah, but you'd written it, what, like 20 years ago or so?
No, I researched it, took me 14 years, and then I worked on it.
And then so you shopped it around, but no one wanted it, is that correct?
No one wanted it because he's not famous.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I thought I better break down that wall, right?
Yeah. And I haven't seen the book, but I've seen the others that you've done in this series. I guess there's five now, right?
Yes, five.
Yeah, you sent me a couple of them. They're really fascinating stories about people, these accomplished artists. You also get a sense of who they are and the times that they were, I guess, active living.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that in, say, traditional history books.
No, a lot of this is not actually, it's all undocumented,
yeah.
These artists.
Yeah.
It was a very rich and vibrant scene here, thousands of artists, and we only know about maybe six that rose to the top.
Mm-hmm.
The rest are, there's no evidence of them around.
And so that's the goal, I guess, is to reflect the times and to reflect this place.
Yes,
in
definitely.
In a sort of new, unconventional way, if you will.
Yes, and to open the door on them. Yeah. And now they can be found within libraries and bookstores. It's a small art gallery.
Yeah.
I am curating. That's what I'm doing when I do this series.
Yeah. And I'm sure Mildred Valley Thornton and Ina Utoff, they have family and friends still around. What do they make of the books?
Well, with Mildred, her son, she had twin sons, and one is still alive. Well, I hope so. But he's quite elderly, and they were really enthused.
Yeah.
They were really stunned and amazed that we would do this, and they were very appreciative and came to the launch. And with Ina Utoff, she has some nieces and nephews, grandson, and they were really pleased too. Two from the States and one grandson up here. And so they were really pleased too.
In the course of writing your book on your dad, that must have been fun as a kid to sort of show off your dad because as you said, he wasn't a famous artist.
No, and it was a huge job because I didn't think I was capable of it when I began thinking of. I just wanted a place to show his work.
Yeah.
Because it was lost. It's all in closets somewhere. And it was a very, very big job. So I actually did interview artists, and then I put the interviews away for 10 years. Then the artists started dying. And I started to listen to the interviews finally and got up enough courage to go ahead and pursue the remaining artists who were alive. And it was actually a very incredible job and journey with a lot of synchronicity and meeting a lot of people from the past who knew my parents and who had his art. And art began to come back to me through the mail, through gifting, and a lot of stories. And it was the most powerful thing I've ever done in my life.
I'll bet. Yeah, he died about 30 years ago now almost, right?
1983.
Yeah. And so in the course of writing this book, you feel closer?
I do feel closer, and I also feel I understood his work more because some of the people around explained to me he was a Jungian, and the more you look, the more I learned about his work. And I also curated an exhibit at the Burnaby Art Gallery at the same time.
Yeah. So what's it like living on Salt Spring?
It's good,
yeah.
But we're leaving.
Oh, really? Yeah. Where are you coming back here? Or?
We're going to go up the coast, and it's time to go. Time for a new adventure.
Yeah, and so I guess you can bring the business with you wherever you live,
yes,
right? Yeah.
As long as there's high-speed internet.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, I suppose, yeah. And now, having been at this for 5 years in the trade business, I suppose, has it been what you expected it to be?
It's been far more complex than I realized. It's a very, very complex, time-consuming job. And because the demise of so many bookstores and distributors have been a problem, and now I'm found a new distributor. I mean, there's been a lot of issues with getting the product out,
mm-hmm.
with e-books. It's a whole revolution in the business. So it's it's probably one of the worst times to have started a business.
Mm-hmm.
But because I am tenacious and focused and I only want to do a few books a year, I'm sure I'll do okay.
Yeah. Now, this may seem rude and prurient, if you will. I'm assuming that this has not been a lucrative business for you, but you're doing okay, right?
Well, I'm swimming really, really hard, and the water's up to my nose.
Yeah.
So I am, I think next year is going to be my breakthrough year.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping this portrait book will be the book that does it.
Yeah, I hope so too, because looking at the number of books that you've done, the ones that I have, the other one is the Claudia Cornwall's Kurt Lang book, which I think is a great book about this part of the world, but Vancouver certainly. These are books that people ought to pick up, ought to read.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that reading up on you and preparing for you coming over today was that I read that in 1978 you opened up the literary storefront that was in Gastown, right?
Yes.
I've heard about that because I was born in 82, so I obviously had never been there. But I've read about it, and I mean that's a legendary place in this, in sort of the literary scene in Vancouver.
Well, that, yes, I started that when I was 18.
Yeah.
Or 20, I can't remember now. Maybe I was 22, time flies. But I got a small explorations grant to start a center for writers and fashioned after the famous salons of the 30s and 40s. And it ran for 6 or so years, and a few other people took it over. And for me, it was a big place, a key place to break down barriers from the universities, you know, certain cliques in the universities and certain cliques here, to just make an even ground for people to meet. So it was open all the time. We had lots of readings and workshops, and we had a lending library. We had books for sale, and the Writers Union had an office, the League of Canadian Poets, and there was a printer. And it was, you know, one of those visions. I'm always having these ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was looking at the list of the people that came and read. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's everybody.
That's right. Lots of people. Yeah. So well, there is a book in the works. Trevor Carolyn is working on something. And, you know, a documentary kind of book.
Yeah, that'd be great to just... And I understand that the president of Estonia once worked there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. He came after. He and a few others took it over afterwards. And, yes, when I left...
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I mean, everything comes together, I guess, in reading about that place at in that time. It sort of makes me wonder why there isn't a place like that today.
Well, and that was the first in Canada, and there actually isn't anything, but it is something to think about now as a center where different literary groups can share a space due to rents, and also, you know, a ground floor for even the selling of books, mm-hmm. because there's so few bookstores.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of the books that you've published, I mean, a few of them have won prizes, have been long-listed, short-listed, and the sort. How does that work in terms of the book business? Does a nomination, say, does that equal sales in this market?
Well, for Gajinder's book, it was fantastic for us and for her. And Penguin, you know, we sold Canadian rights to Penguin. It'll be published in the States January 1st in a new Penguin edition. But for Claudia's book, it was a finalist in the City of Vancouver Book Award. Mm-hmm. And I think that definitely will help. We've got stickers made, and I think that'll help too. Her book's done pretty good. And then for Mildred Valley, actually, there was a lot of fans for Mildred's work. Mm-hmm. So that book has done pretty good. And I think with time, I do feel they'll all increase.
So this Unheralded Artists of BC series, as I said, there are 5 books thus far.
That's right.
How long do you think the series will run?
Forever.
Really? Great.
Well, there are so many artists, so many incredible artists that worked all their life, gave everything up, and are forgotten. And we would like to do a book on the sculptors. And the next book we're doing is on Edith Hambroff Schleicher. She was Emily Carr's good friend and sketching partner. People know her as a writer, but don't know her mm-hmm. art. And then Jack Aykroyd and Vera Weatherby. And, I mean, it really goes on. I'm only doing one a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very kind of complex, time-consuming books.
They seem like, to get the art photographed and the writing and research of it, they seem like...
That's right. The research, often you have to dig and we do have some contacts. We have a network now
mm-hmm.
of research contacts. But, I feel this is one of the reasons I am here,
mm-hmm.
is this series. I feel I was born to do this series. And I would like to see a documentary on this series.
That would be, then we can see the art sort
That's
of up
right.
close and the sort. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It must be fun to be, I guess, the conduit that people discover these artists.
It is. It's great. I
love
it. Yeah. It's a looking at the world in a different way. And because the world of art is a very political world, and people are, you know, don't really look back into the past unless you are really an art collector and dig and dig and dig. But it's all about fame, and fame, it's a commodity, you know. So I really want to turn and open the door on a whole very rich vein of culture in this province.
So there are other books that you publish as well. There's books of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I guess 2013 Wildfire, 75 Women Poets of BC, and you and Susan Musgrave are editing that, is that right?
Well, that was kind of a pre thing. It's actually Susan Musgrave's editing, not myself, but we've got a new title for it,
uh-huh.
and it's called Force Field, and it'll come out in April,
uh-huh.
be almost 400 pages.
And that's 75 poets, is it?
75 Women Poets of BC, the first anthology of women poets in 31 years.
Really? Yeah.
Or 34, yeah.
I mean, that must be fun as a reader,
mm-hmm.
to go back and choose and debate and select and I mean, is it?
Well, Susan's done the choosing, and then each poet will have four pages. So, I mean, of course, I see everything, and it's really exciting. I find it really exciting because we have never done this gathering before for a long time.
Yeah. And do books of poetry, do they sell well?
Some sell better than others, and... we've just published The Weight of Dew, Daniela Alza's book, and it's fantastic. And she does a lot of readings, and she's very articulate and funny, and she's been selling her work, so that's good. And and we have just closed the deadline for our search for the Great BC Novel Contest, the second one.
So the first one was Gurjinder's book, Everything Was Goodbye, and so you solicit these entries.
Yes.
And then you and a panel choose a winner, I suppose. Is that right? And then publish it? Is that how it works?
Well, we have three judges. The first two shortlist judges are David Cheriandi and Gurjinder Basran, and the final judge is Carolyn Adderson. And she'll make the final selection, and so they've just all been coming in,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll publish the winner.
What's that like to read fiction? I mean, I'm assuming that this is, I guess, the first time that some of these authors will have been, you know, this is an effort that they're making to get published. And so in terms of the fiction that you're reading, is it pretty good?
Well... I haven't read anything that's come in this time,
yeah.
but what they're doing is they're sending a synopsis in the first chapter. So the last one, I did read everything, and Gurjinder was her first entry. And so there was a real mix. There was some fantastic pieces and some, you know, variable quality.
Yeah.
So it's quite a selection that comes in, you know, so I haven't read anything of this selection.
Yeah. But when you read for the first year,
mm-hmm.
was that a fun experience? I mean,
yes,
even though,
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. I mean, because it's one chapter, you know, you get a real taste, and it's not like the whole novel.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get to the finalist part, then the whole novel they have to send in, and that's a different, you know.
Area. And so that's the goal of the whole project, mm-hmm. is that you want to find, for you as a publisher, these new artists,
mm-hmm.
these new writers,
mm-hmm.
I suppose, new fiction writers, is that?
Yeah, and a good BC novel. It doesn't have to be BC-based, but a good novel from a BC writer.
Yeah.
And I love novels.
Yeah.
I love novels. And I have a sense, an intuitive sense, as soon as I read it, its flaws and its strengths, immediately. It's like I just sense it. And I used to be a bookseller, and I could hand sell all the fiction.
Yeah.
So I have this sense immediately. It's like reading cards. I know immediately what that novel can bring. And so it's sort of, I love doing it.
Yeah. And so you mentioned earlier that the book sold well. I guess it's been a rough time for the book business.
Mm-hmm.
You've already told us about some of the challenges that you've faced. But you're generally hopeful, right?
I'm very hopeful because I just want to grow slowly, and I'm committed, and I'm making some changes to make things work better.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned a lot. It's a huge, it's a steep learning curve, and I have lots to learn. But I just want to move slowly, you know, and I stay focused on the core of what I'm doing. Is a series, Unheralded, some fiction, and some poetry and biography.
Did you have a sense, looking at the Unheralded artists, looking at the 111 writers that are in Barry and Blaze's book, and then thinking of the other books that you published, the poetry and the fiction that you've looked at, about coming from this place, do you have a sense of who we are?
I do. I have a sense that I feel it's a very rich creative vein here, culture, and I don't know. I think there's so much we can tap here in our own backyard. I don't need to go back east. I don't need to go actually anywhere else. I just want to kind of mine this area, this province.
Yeah. So you've got the poetry book coming up next year. Do you know what you're publishing, say, in next fall? I mean, do you have that in mind?
Hopefully we'll do one of the novels that wins, the novel, and then actually my husband is working on a memoir, Liverpool Lad, growing up in Liverpool in the 50s and 60s.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually, he's a natural writer. He's funny, and it's a very... very good.
Yeah. So I guess his day job, if we can call it that. I mean, he works the letterpress, right?
He did work letterpress. He's does teach letterpress, and he's an electrician, uh-huh. And a builder, and he does many things.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure to meet you and to talk about these great books that you do. I mean, congratulations on the last 5 years and continued good luck. You've really done with these books a great service to those of us that are interested in this part of the world, but certainly for history and for culture and the arts and the sort. So I appreciate you coming in again.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. The website for more, mothertonguepublishing.com. Mona Furtick joined me in studio here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.